Rehydrate, recharge, and reclaim your day. Fit by Vatra. Fit for life. This news bulletin on Millennium Radio is brought to you in association with Vatra Mineral Water. Vatra, made for all, made for life.
Good evening. It's 18 hours. This is Millennium Radio with the main news.
Millennium FM News, keeping you informed in both local, sports, and international news.
To present the news, my name is Mogema Timothy Jilalam. The headlines. Mosonda slams government inaction on local ballot paper printing. Government tackling import delays, expanding e-voucher and loan access for farmers. U.S. job creation slowed following tariff impact and uncertainty.
The voice of development.
And now the details. Advocates for Democratic Governance Foundation Executive Director Gideon Musonda has criticized the government for what he describes as a lack of seriousness in advancing the goal of printing ballot papers within Zambia. Mr. Musonda has expressed concern that while agreements have been made in various meetings, there has been little progress in actualizing the commitments, particularly regarding local capacity building. He has dismissed the repeated claim of a lack of capacity as an excuse, arguing that local capacity can be developed by empowering Zambian suppliers and investing in necessary infrastructure. Mr. Musonda has further noted that security concerns, often cited as a reason for outsourcing ballot printing, can be adequately addressed if there is genuine political will and commitment.
Two is about actualizing what we all agreed to. It's extremely important that we have, you know, our ballot papers being printed locally. Now, you might have heard various, you know, pronouncements from government that they agree and they intend, you know, to do that. Unfortunately, there is no serious steps undertaken towards implementing what the people, you know, want. The issue that always pops up is the lack of capacity.
Veteran political activist Dante Saunders has expressed concern over what he describes as a looming threat to Zambia's democracy, citing the absence of a strong opposition contender ahead of the 2026 general election. Mr. Saunders observed that for the first time since Zambia's return to multi-party democracy in 1991, the country appears headed into a general election without a credible and organized opposition front, a development he describes as deeply troubling. He has warned that the political vacuum created by the current weakness of opposition parties could trigger an unprecedented rise in independent candidates, reflecting a decline in public trust in traditional political institutions. Mr. Saunders has further stated that the lack of a viable alternative poses a serious risk to the democratic system as it opens the door to a one-party dominance and weakens the critical checks and balances essential to accountable governance.
We are not seeing opposition really addressing serious issues other than just insulting people. You know, we feel, you know, that it's not very healthy for democracy. It's obviously not very healthy for democracy. But we thank God there's one other alternative. And the other alternative is either to, if you don't agree with opposition, but you want to be a member of parliament, you don't have to wait for any other party if you stood as an independent. That's the only other thing that we hope will take shape. But at the moment, of course, we are concerned. The opposition is not really doing what it's supposed to be doing, and that is offering alternative solutions.
Agriculture Minister Ruben Mutolo says the government is actively addressing delays in the delivery of farming inputs and working to improve access to agriculture financing for small-scale farmers through the Farmer Input Support Program, FISIP, and the Sustainable Agriculture Financing Facility. Speaking in Parliament in response to questions from members of Parliament, Mr. Mutolo disclosed that all 116 districts have now fully transitioned to the e-voucher system under FISIP, giving farmers greater freedom of choice and enhancing private sector participation in agriculture. He reported that over 1 million farmers benefited from the program in the last farming season, including 607 farmers in Kanchiria alone. The same target has been set for the upcoming farming season, with ongoing reform aimed at integrating SAFLON's access to broaden financial support for small-scale farmers. Mr. Mutolo further revealed that the government is considering decentralizing input collection to the ward level in districts such as Namwala to ease access for rural farmers and reduce logistical barriers.
The Ministry of Agriculture implemented the e-voucher system in 74 districts, while the remaining 42 districts operated under the direct input supply system. Madam Speaker, I am pleased to report that our government, through the Ministry of Agriculture, has taken proactive steps migrating all the 116 districts to the e-voucher modality. The benefits envisioned under the e-voucher include increase in choice of inputs and crops, increase private sector participation, thereby creating more and better jobs, unlocking access to finance by market actors across the agricultural input supply chain.
Development practitioner Christian Chileche has called on the government to strengthen collaboration with non-governmental organizations, NGOs, and civil society organizations to enhance transparency, accountability, and effective implementation of national development programs. Mr. Chileche has emphasized that Zambia can achieve meaningful development if NGOs are given a greater role in spearheading development efforts, citing international examples like the United States and Sweden, where governments successfully work hand-in-hand with civil society. He noted that the current development structures in Zambia remain weak, particularly in terms of implementation, and are further hampered by corruption and limited accountability. Mr. Chileche stressed that allowing NGOs to take the lead in certain areas of development could improve service delivery and ensure that projects benefit communities directly.
We do have alternative structures that can be used for implementation, such as we do have a number of NGOs, for instance, that are very much on the ground, have been at development for a while. They know where the needs are. They probably even have registers of different households and what those households are going through. Why are we not working through some of those NGOs? Foreign governments that provide aid to Zambia work through those NGO structures. Why would the Zambian government not also make use of them? Because those NGOs are supposed to be implementing government's agenda anyway.
International economic scholar Dr. Kelvin Kamayoyo has emphasized the urgent need for significant reforms in the global financial system to address the disproportionately high cost of capital faced by African nations. Dr. Kamayoyo has underscored that such reforms could strengthen bilateral relationships and unlock greater investment opportunities across the continent. He notes that Zambia stands to benefit by learning from its cooperating partners, particularly China and the United States, in promoting transparency in key sectors such as oil, gas, and mining.
They are more receptive to interact with companies that come from their own area. Okay. This is what has made Africa not to invest more in mining. Mm-hmm. If you are not a Muzungu, you are what, you find unnecessary barriers to trade on the London Metal Exchange. So you'll be forced to deal with a middleman. But if Glencoe finds a mine in Mumbwa, it will be smooth sailing. They just start extracting and selling. No transaction barriers. So these are some of the discussions the government should be discussing when they go to these international forums. And also, when will Africa grow and also develop its own Africa Metal Exchange?
And now, business news.